You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at LakewoodChev.com. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, we got to start with the goaltender. Of course, Skinner, who the Oilers took in the third round. Give us your scouting report. Very big goalie. What's he got to work on to be an NHLer down the road?
You know, probably a lot of it is just experience at this point. But, you know, I got a first-hand look at him. We talked about a couple weeks ago. I was fortunate enough to be invited to Hockey Canada's Program of Excellence goaltending camp there in Calgary a couple weeks ago to do some video coaching. And, you know, pretty much saw what I expected from him coming in. But I think what probably made the difference in this pick for the Oilers is because Dustin Schwartz was there as well as a coach and part of the group I was with working with the under-20s and the under-18s is the way he picked up on new things so quickly. And one thing in particular, and we've talked about tracking, we've talked about, you know, the head trajectory stuff before, that made a big difference. Not only made a big difference in his game, but that he picked up on very quickly and was able to execute very quickly. And so some of the small delays in his skating and when he arrived at set and the way he arrived at set and then in his post-save recovery were really quickly eliminated. And it wasn't just the fact that he picked up on it quickly. It was the eagerness with which he wanted to learn more. And, you know, this is, you know, I mean, a lot of people would hear that and say, well, of course, what young goalie isn't going to want to learn more from an NHL goalie coach like Dusty Schwartz and when you get that opportunity? But the reality is this is something that is just a little bit different than what it, for him and most of these goalies they had learned coming in. And they're trying to execute something on the ice for the purposes of development, but with all these goalie coaches from NHL teams watching them 2 weeks before their draft. And for some of them, it didn't look pretty out of the box. And you would have understood if there would have been some hesitation there. In other words, yeah, okay, I want to learn this, but do I really have to look bad in the transition process when I've got all these guys who are going to decide where I get drafted, you know, in the next couple of weeks watching me? And there was none of that. And to be frank, the word around the NHL was that he had interviewed poorly at the combine, that it had not gone well. And again, I think that's where being in that room and on that ice sheet really, for the Oilers, was a huge advantage having Dusty Schwartz there. Because firsthand, for whatever reasons, I didn't get specifics, I had just heard from more than one NHL team that those interviews had not gone well. That is not what we saw there. And so I think that very... You know, without having followed up and asked if that was the reason, I think having observed it, that probably was a part of why he ends up being drafted into his hometown. And so you're excited because this is a kid who was highly regarded, first of all, even before this. This is a kid who has the size, who moved pretty well already, and was going to be a high pick. And he's found something that may allow him to be just that much quicker. Again, skating, set, and especially post-save recovery. And we saw it in some of the compete drills the last day of camp where DiPietro was undoubtedly the star of the show when we went to pure compete drills, and expectedly so. But Skinner made some saves that won him his group. They went at separate times. One was in the morning, one was in the second session. But they both won their groups. And I'm not sure that you would have said going in that you would have expected Skinner to win his group. And so whereas DiPietro's had that desperation in his game, with Skinner it was eliminating a delay in his post-save recovery that allowed him to use his size effectively and then go further through desperate save progressions before he got desperate himself, and he really shone in that environment.
When you look at a guy like Skinner, is there an advantage of having played 3 years of junior hockey already?
I mean, I think... The advantage is probably that he started the progression. I mean, the disadvantage is that's a tough place to put a young kid at such a young age. The advantage is, you know, if there's any immaturity, it would be you would hope it would be gone by now. So I think with each level, Jason, you just gain experience.
Okay.
And getting early exposure to it, as long as it doesn't beat you up or beat you down because, you know, you're in a place with kids that are older than you, you're outside your peer group. And let's be honest, there are a lot of negatives that can come with that. But having survived it the way he did and thrived at times through it, you know, I think that probably helps you gain those experiences, maybe from a different perspective, and maybe grow into a leadership role and rather than be, you know, overwhelmed by it at an early age. It gives him a chance to sort of come up and get a head start, so to speak. Now, what I do wonder is what it leaves left at this point, right? If you've already been there for 3 years, and maybe it's just a matter of, you know, now he's got an extra little tool in there and he'll be working with Dusty Schwartz, you know, in addition to the regular work he does. And don't ignore that, you know, the guys like Eli Wilson who have been a big part of his development coming up that he'll still, I'm sure, continue to work with. But, you know, maybe this one extra tool allows him, if he does go back, to take an even bigger step this year. And he's, you know, he made the Final Four for the World Junior team ahead of a goaltender like Evan Fitzpatrick, who was drafted by the St. Louis Blues 59th overall just last summer, who didn't make that short list. So, you know, maybe that World Junior team and that experience is another layer you can add to from an experience standpoint that's going to help him and help the Oilers moving forward a bigger stage, a different stage, one he hasn't been to before. Again, something to progress to as he gets older.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, free agency has opened at least the talking. They can't negotiate terms, which is the biggest farce ever. We all know, of course,
and
they do.
Not true, of course.
But,
yeah.
But free agent goalies, Calgary, we talk about them. They probably are looking at a backup. You know, Winnipeg, we hear Elliott maybe is going there. Who do you see as free agent fits? And then possibly the one goalie available in the trade who's maybe better than any free agent option.
You know what? And there's where I think you start, because his name is out there right now. He's on the market, didn't move in the Vegas transactions. But at the end of the day, he's an RFA coming off a $750,000 season with arbitration rights. And based on his performance, he probably triples, maybe even more than that in arbitration. I don't think the Washington Capitals can afford Philip Grubauer. And that's why I think I'm hearing his name around the league right now. And again, frankly, based on age, experience, and where he's at, there are some things he hasn't done. He hasn't had to be the number one for a long stretch, you know, which was something, you know, in Edmonton, I talked about that when they got Talbot. The fact he'd had that experience over the course of a month plus with Lundqvist out meant he'd gone through that transition once. That's the only thing that Philip Grubauer doesn't have yet. But if you look at his performance at every level as a pro, and even if you wait it for the fact he's probably been a little insulated at times behind a Barry Trotz defense for the last couple of years at least, I think that you could make an argument, especially if that ARB, or you can sign him in that, you know, between $2 and $3 million range, that he provides excellent value as, you know, as a potential Cam Talbot, as a guy who has shown he can win and play effectively starting once a week, once every 10 days, maybe even once every 2 weeks at times the last couple of seasons. But still, there's upside there, and I might argue maybe even more than Ranta, you know, where other teams made decisions early, whether it's Ranta in Arizona or Mike Smith in Calgary, that maybe Philip Grubauer might have a little more upside than some of those guys.
So what team makes the most sense, in your opinion, to go after Grubauer?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there any team that's kind of looking, well, I would say Winnipeg as an option again, but I think because he's a guy that you see having the potential to groom up into a number one, the fact they think they have that guy already in Hellebuck means that, like, you sound like you're hearing the same things I am, that Brian Elliott might be the guy that ends up going to Winnipeg. So, yeah, Philadelphia in a partnership with Michael Neuwirth would make sense. Although I don't know, the Caps are dealing to a rival on sure. The East Coast. You know, Calgary I would think makes sense as well. Mike Smith's only there for 2 years, and maybe he is just slightly ahead of the curve experience wise of that next generation they have coming through there. Any team that's kind of in need of that 1B potential 1A type of rotation, Vancouver as increasingly I hear rumblings that Ryan Miller won't be back. He would be a good fit there, although, again, the Canucks are a rebuilding team. Would they be willing to give up an asset to get a goalie when free agency is around the corner? I think anywhere where you're not looking so much as a mentor, as a young guy who can come in a 1B role and push for more starts and maybe be a potential number one down the road. Look, the New York Rangers just lost their backup. We hear talk that the Ottawa Senators might not be, you know, that sounds like Mike Condon is a hot commodity and maybe he doesn't return. Teams like that, you know, I think Ottawa with Craig Anderson and an aging number one who you maybe don't want the workload to be too high. Maybe they'd be in the mix if Mike Condon doesn't return. Those are the type, I think there's a lot of teams that could benefit from a Philip Grubauer, but those, you know, those are ones that jump out, you know, on top of the list that certainly fit the bill right now.
Kevin, it should be an interesting week as always. Yeah, Grubauer, I'm very curious to see where he ends up for sure. And lastly, quickly, big goalies seem to be the trend. What about DiPietro in Vancouver? Do you think can we see a 6 foot goaltender succeed in the NHL?
I think we can. I think we saw 5'11" in UC Saros push Pekarinen at 6 foot five for starts, while playing deeper than him. I think this myth, as much as teams aren't past it, I think more and more people are discovering that a 6 footer that understands positioning and understands how much of the net he actually takes up and understands the tracking required not to give that net back can have success in the NHL. And I think in DiPietro, what you've got is, I mean, I just show you some of the video from the Compedrals of that POE camp. There were Hasek-like moments there. This kid has character like crazy, saw lots of examples of that, leadership, explosive, never give up, second chance athleticism. But I think what impressed me most about him as far as maybe being one of those guys who can succeed at 6 feet, and he may get to 6'1 or 6'2. Eric Comrie was drafted at 6 feet, and he's 6'2 now. The fact is Michael DiPietro fully understands that as much as the ability to go into desperation mode and the fact he never gives up and he does desperation as well as anyone his age, maybe anyone anywhere right now, is he fully recognizes that he needs to get to that point, to the point where he needs to go into desperation mode later in save sequences and less often every game. And so if I thought he was going to try and make the NHL making 9 or 10 of those saves a game, I'd say no, it's probably not going to happen. But I think he fully realizes, and as he said in his interviews, as he understands the efficiency he needs to get to spots without going desperate first and trust his positioning, the fact that he's willing to work on that, I think it bodes well for him. And I think you'll see him as an exciting goalie, but a goalie who needs to be exciting less often, and that increases his chance of being a really good pro.
Well, Kev, look forward to it, man. Thanks for your time, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.